Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got a good bunch of guys. You know, it was terrible. You guys are going to, I'm sure you're going to, you know, obviously report it that way. And that's the way it was. It wasn't very good. But if you watch our guys closely, guys are playing their asses off at the end of the game, fighting hard. And we got a good bunch of guys that I totally believe in there. And we just need to turn a page and move forward quickly here.
Figgy Fig, you make everyone's drive better with your music. Figgy Fig on the ones and twos, being the best in the world at what he do. John McClain, NFL Hall of Famer, with us. John Lopez to my right. You heard Bill O'Brien say you were going to report it as a terrible performance. John McClain, how did you report that Texans 41-0 loss in Baltimore?
That it was so pathetic and almost defied explanation.
Well, let's try to explain it. And let's try to call something out of it, because I've seen variations of, and the Texans are saying this, and Bill O'Brien kind of alluded to it in a roundabout way. Oh, just burn the film. You know, it's going to happen. That's the NFL. With the stakes going in, if we can go back to Friday, you know, and understand you've got an MVP conversation in play. You've got a first round bye, perhaps even the best record in the AFC in play. You've got the high stakes all around, and you lose 41-7. To me, John, that's not just the NFL. That's something tangible that just went terribly wrong.
Well, they played great run defense up to that point, and they got stomped, and 100 came on two runs. They hadn't been giving up long runs. They gave up two. And the offense, I was stunned at how bad the offense was. I thought Watson was beyond that. I thought the receivers, the line, they had their line back intact for the fourth time. They were 3-0. Jacksonville's pass rush sack of a lot better than Baltimore's. Jacksonville had one sack. Baltimore came in with 16 sacks in 9 games, and they got 6 of Watson and 1 on McCarron. And that part, Harbaugh and his staff did an incredible coaching job, and the players did a great job of carrying out that plan. Mm-hmm. The Texans got out-coached. They got out-played. It was offense, defense, and special teams. And so I think, you know, we'll see. We'll see how they bounce back. I think it is good to play on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. If to get to the next one, the fact it's Indy, it's for first place, that's even better. Based on how bad they were in Baltimore, this team should come back with the best game it's played.
But the biggest takeaway to me, and if they do bounce back, isn't it just more of the same, though? Isn't it just basically what we've seen the last couple of years? You know, at the beginning of the season, we're talking about good to great, the Texans taking the next step. Even if they do beat the Colts, is it just an example of the Texans aren't in the top tier of the AFC teams, but they're good enough to win the AFC South and compete? Is all hope that the Texans belong in that upper echelon lost with what we saw Sunday?
No, not all hope. What if they won the rest of their games and they beat the Patriots and the Colts? No. But they're not in the upper echelon.
I'll do a right show now, naked if that happens.
There's two teams. Well, don't do it on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll do it just for you, John.
There's two teams in the upper echelon, Baltimore and New England, in the AFC. Nobody else is. You know, Kansas City was. Texans beat them. Colts are not. Texans are not. That's one reason that the wild card race is going to be so good, is because there's so many teams competing, mm-hmm. like the Raiders, even the Titans, if they win this one. So that's why this is a must win for the Texans, because they can't afford to drop back in that pack and risk losing and just making a playoffs.
Wait, so it is or isn't a must win? Because you and OG John Lopez had a disagreement. So you think it is or isn't?
No, I think it's a must win because of the division, not for making a playoff.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I didn't say that before.
He gets mad at me when I say that. He just sits there and lets it go over. When the Hall of Famer comes in and says it, it's just okay. But when your guy you're with 20 hours a week plus says it, it's just a big deal.
It is a must win for winning the AFC South.
Double standards, Figgy.
No.
Double standards, man.
You are wrong there. I did clarify. I said if you're saying that they will not get to the postseason.
No.
If they lose, that's different than a must win ends.
You don't like must win, period, when I say it, John.
Unless it's the end of your season. Let's move beyond that.
It's okay.
John, in the second half of the season, that's the stretch run. We're in the middle of the stretch run. And Bill O'Brien is 4-15 against teams that finish with a winning record in the second half of the season.
Take away 2 years ago, what is he?
He was 0-4, I believe.
0-4 with no, that couldn't be right because they didn't win.
I'm talking about in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I'm just saying, get rid of 2017 when they were 4-12.
He played in the second half of the season in 2017. He played four teams that finished with winning records. He was 0-4.
Yeah, well, he should be. That team was
so 4-11 total. So let's take away
2017.
So 4-11. 4-11 with the free pass 2017
against teams that finished with a winning record down the stretch.
Not counting 2017.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, so that's terrible, of course.
What does it tell you about
it tells me, number one, he hadn't had a quarterback. Number two, now he does, and if it still happens, then that's bad coaching and bad playing.
You think it's just all about the quarterback? You think it's that simple? The shortcomings of Bill O'Brien is just all about the quarterback?
We'll see.
Because it just seems like when we go back to his coaching record, we talk about, you know, he didn't have a quarterback and he had this quarterback situation.
Well, got this when he went 11-5 last year, and then they stunk it up in the playoffs. And now they're 6-4 with a chance to win the division. So we'll see. I don't think it was O'Brien's fault that Watson played so bad and the offensive line was terrible. Or the run defense was so bad.
Really? So you would put more blame on Watson than Bill O'Brien in Baltimore?
Yeah, because a lot of times you watched him drop back early in that game. He was terrible.
What's up with that? What do you think that is? Is that just a little bit of rustiness?
I think early on. That first one where he got sacked, he should have thrown the ball away five times. And instead he took a sack and fumbled. And, you know, get rid of the ball. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe somebody said they were still on London time. But they didn't look like they'd looked before. And I think it's like I said, the stage was too big for him. The pressure was too much for him. The white-hot spotlight. They didn't react to it. And they cratered.
Let me just toss something out there, John. And I'm not picking on you. I'm picking on the narrative that has been.
You pick on me all you want.
No, I love you too much. I love you too much.
Don't treat our guests like that.
But this is what's frustrating. The Texans go into Jacksonville, and after the game, after they destroy the Jaguars, we're hearing this team was so well prepared. Bill O'Brien did an unbelievable job. He did an unbelievable job getting this team ready. They had a great game plan.
Do you doubt that?
Let me finish.
Okay.
We heard all those things. This team was so prepared.
That was true.
The way they got to the off the field, you know, and nutrition and everything else. The offensive line was dominant. The running game was great. Deshaun Watson, Bill O'Brien had this team so ready to play Jacksonville.
He did.
The next game they lose, and we hear
preach.
It's not O'Brien's fault.
No. I gave him an F minus. I killed the coaches.
No, but you just said it's not O'Brien's
fault. I don't think
fault.
It was O'Brien's fault that Watson played bad and the defense gave up 264
yards. So why is it not O'Brien's
rushing?
Fault now, but it was his credit then?
He's got
I don't
a point,
think
John.
He has to do with anything, the indecision and the bad passing. Was it O'Brien's fault when Watson rolled to the right at Kenny Stills wide open down the field? And threw back into
but
a
can't
crowd
you
to Carlos
use,
Hyde.
And again, I'm talking to you because you said it, but I've heard it other
I'm
places.
I'm talking about on individual games.
Right.
O'Brien should, it was his fault that the team was not ready to play, but it was not his fault when Deshaun Watson throws into a crowd or holds the ball and fumbles.
But hold on a second. But the term preparation and being ready to play is a credit to O'Brien in one game, but not his fault in the other?
No, the preparation was terrible. Everything was terrible for Baltimore. You judge it on each week. No, I'm not saying that's not his fault. Let me explain it again.
Okay, here we go.
When Deshaun Watson holds the ball for 7 seconds and fumbles when he should have thrown it away five different times, that's Watson's fault. When Watson rolls right and can't see Kenny Stills down the field, and he throws back for Carlos Hyde in the crowd, and it's intercepted by a middle linebacker, that's Watson's fault. When the defense gives up 263 yards, that's the defense's fault. That's not O'Brien's fault. The team's overall performance is O'Brien's fault. Obviously, they were not ready, and the Ravens were, and the Ravens outcoached him something terrible.
But that to me, and I think what John is saying is, shouldn't a coach be able to instill what he wants a quarterback to do or what a quarterback should do to the point where we don't see those mistakes suddenly emerge when he's in the MVP conversation. Like, is this team too dependable on Deshaun Watson having to carry them to where, you know, schematically it seems like Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes even are put in better position to succeed? Do you think that this team, that Deshaun Watson is, do you think that they're maximizing what Deshaun Watson has to offer based
obviously,
on what you just
said?
Yeah, but
kid's been playing great except for this game in Carolina. And he beat Patrick Mahomes, remember, Kansas City?
Right, right.
So, yeah, I think 1 week a coach can do a great job. Next week, coach can do a terrible job, and that's what we've seen back-to-back weeks.
If
now we'll find out on this one and the next one.
If I gave you three guys and you had to rank them from 1 to 3 to run your offense, rank them 1 to 3. We'll go Andy Reid in Kansas City, Greg Roman in Baltimore, and Bill O'Brien in Houston. If you just had to rank
those 1 to 3.
Well,
Andy Reid would be number one, since sure. Greg Roman's never been a head coach, and he was how many times was he fired and out of work?
Greg Roman?
Yeah.
It's been a few.
He did a good job with Kaepernick, but Harbaugh, a lot of people said, was running that show. Well, but Harbaugh has turned this offense over to him, and he's done a great job for
Jackson,
basically 1 year, counting the end of last season. So I'd take O'Brien. He's a head coach over Roman.
I'm just talking about running
Roman,
your offense. I'm talking about just running the offense.
I've seen Roman for 4 years here.
So just running your offense, you would take Bill O'Brien over Greg Roman.
Well, Greg Roman hadn't done anything really except with that kind of quarterback. But, yeah, I'd take O'Brien over
He's
Roman.
Been San Francisco 49ers 2011 to 2014, Buffalo 15-16, and then Baltimore. So really just two other jobs.
And he got promoted over Marty Warningwig, and then when they promoted Jackson, and then – that John Harbaugh led him, said, here, take this kid and make him into this. This is what we want to do. And Roman's done a good job, and he may get a head coaching job out of it.
It'll be interesting to see. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain here with us on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. There's no way in hell that Bill O'Brien, even if the Texans lose on Thursday, like there's no way he's coaching for his job or anything on the back end of the season, right?
Of course not.
Like, there's nothing that could happen that would lead to Bill O'Brien not being back in 2020.
Maybe if they lost all the rest of their games, that Cal McNair might pull the plug.
That's what it would take. But, you know, even, like, missing the playoffs or anything like that, he's still back?
I doubt it. Seriously.
Is he still going to be the GM? You think they
bring
him in?
He's going to always be the GM, yeah.
Okay.
Even if they hire Caserio, he'll still have total control.
Man,
that's interesting.
Even if they were going to have total control if Caserio had come here the last time.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be there. It'd be like... he'd be like Mike Mayock and John Gruden. Gruden has final say, Mayock's general manager. Mickey Loomis, general manager. Sean Payton has a final say. Andy Reid has a final say. Pete Carroll has a final say. And they all got GMs, and that's the way it'd be here if they hire Caserio.
Sean Payton, Pete Carroll.
Bill Belichick,
and Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
Have that.
Well, Andy Reid has it.
And Andy Reid.
Okay. And John Gruden has it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little bit different, but he has won a Super Bowl.
And if I thought about it, I'd have to go over every team. There might be another coach or two that has a GM that has final say on personnel.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us 2 days away from the Texans matchup against the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to talk some college football. We're going to talk some baseball. We're going to talk all kinds of things in world-famous McClain leg hiking next. All right, world-famous McClain leg hiking here on Sports Radio 610.
World-famous.
World-famous, you already know.
It might be worldwide famous.
Worldwide.
Well, soon. You said people in London were asking
all
about
over the place.
They were asking me, that's right.
You're asking Cabbies, about it. Sucking down pints, eating fish and chips, asking about McClain leg hiking. I want to start with some college football. Baylor, this Saturday against Oklahoma, choked.
Oh, well, I never say college or high school guys choked. Always, I'll say it about pros, but not that. They were up by 25. They should have won. They blew it. And Baylor, you know, before, if you told me Baylor was going to play within 3 because I thought Oklahoma would beat them by more than 10, I would have said I'll be happy with that. But as I've said all along, I picked Oklahoma to win. I just want them to beat the Longhorns.
All right, well, that ties in with
the
one.
You might be in good luck there, buddy.
That's the one I had that was related to that. Even before last Saturday, if John McClain had to pick one win, he would take a win over Texas versus a win over Oklahoma.
I would, even though it doesn't mean as much in the standings.
Well, they can still get there.
I've never thought Baylor's going to beat Oklahoma or win the Big 12.
They're in already?
They're
in the title game.
And if they beat Texas, then they'll have your trap game at Kansas with Les Miles getting that team motivated. But I'm fired up about this one. Once I got over that loss, I looked back. I said, well, They should have beaten them. They didn't. At least it was close. They played well. Sooners are the Sooners for a reason.
All right, this is a college football question because the biggest story of the weekend, no disrespect to your people in Waco, was Tua season-ending injury. Tua, he injures his hip. He was probably going to be
drill.
He was probably going to be the number one pick in the draft, but he injures his hip. He's done for the season. Arguably the best college football player in the country, Chase Weber of Ohio State, he served a 2-game suspension. Should he ever play another down for the Ohio
Chase
State
Young?
Buckeyes? Chase Young, I'm sorry, I said Chase Weber. Chase Young, should he ever play another down for Ohio State for the remainder of the season? Taking into account that he's now going to be the number one pick in the draft, he just saw Tua go down, and he saw Nick Bosa sit out, and it seems to be working out pretty good for him in San Francisco.
Young is the best player, but he won't be the number one pick. That'll be a quarterback. Somebody will trade to pick somebody, and it'll be Joe Burrow. And Tagovailoa probably would be 2 or 3. Justin Herbert also is a
big-time prospect. Can we have an ambassador bet? I think Chase Young will be the number one pick.
Yeah, I'll bet you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. On the ambassador.
I'm going to make John McClain eat Chinese food. It used to be a lot easier to get him to eat that Chinese food, though.
Yeah. The thing is, John, I don't think he's going to sit out the rest of the year because they have a chance to win the national championship.
I don't.
And I can't blame him for that.
I don't blame. I don't blame players. It was like Jalen Smith said, if he had to do it over again, he'd do the same thing because it's Notre Dame. What it meant to him. And Chase Young's from Ohio. They got a chance to win it, so I'm guessing he'll come back, even though he already knows.
But if let's say they had
he's
two losses,
he's the best prospect in the draft.
If they had two losses, I would actually encourage him to do the exact opposite.
But
it's
hard for a player to walk away from your teammates, your fans, your school, everything you put all that blood, sweat, and tears into it. If you think about all the guys who play, who are draft eligible, and the ones that actually do that, it's minuscule.
Well,
just like an injury, a serious injury to a star. It's such a low percentage based on how many players actually play in the NFL.
The only reason I think that he would think about it is because his mentor at Ohio State, Nick Bosa, made that decision last year. He didn't play for Ohio State in the back end, and he's the defensive rookie of the year right now. And you take into account what you just saw with Tua, it just seems like it has to be something that would at least cross his mind.
I'm sure thinking about it. I'm sure he's got people in his ear. You know, they got agents. They got all kind of people chasing him, his family.
But go ahead.
And he could get hurt and still be the number one pick. He's so good.
The other thing about Chase Young's case is the NFL is already establishing, they did it this past year, you know, all these questions of what's the league going to think about guys that quit on their chain? They don't care.
They don't care about that. Of course not.
So it's actually, I think you're going to see more guys doing it.
Yeah, the NFL is not what they worry about. They worry about, you know, they do it, they go to class, they got students in there talking to them about it. Of course, none of them want them to do it.
Yeah.
But I think if you make a financial decision for you and your family, or the family you're going to have, that even though as a fan it drives you crazy, you can't argue with it.
Deshaun Watson will not finish in the top three of the MVP race.
Let's see. You got one, two. You got
Dak.
Rodgers. You got, well, I don't think the Cowboys are that good, and the Texans aren't either. I'm going to say you're right. Don't hike it.
Okay, because I know the first two are going to be locks, Russell Wilson.
He'd have to have a
Lamar
great
Jackson.
Game against Indy and New England on national TV to get back where he was before Baltimore.
Justin Reed left the game late against Baltimore. He will not play on Thursday.
Yeah, he's got a concussion, not to mention his shoulder injury. Mm. If you get a concussion and you don't get cleared immediately, generally, you don't play the next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Thursday.
Yeah,
so I'll say he's not playing.
The Texans will give up at least 150 yards rushing on Thursday.
Hike it. I think they will not. They'll bounce back. They've been playing great run defense, have one game.
Frank Reich is a better coach than Bill O'Brien.
Right. He is a better coach than Bill O'Brien.
Kyamie Fairbairn will miss a key kick down the stretch.
Is that all you got?
Kyamie Fairbairn.
You're wasting my time here.
I'm wasting his time.
Fairbairn should be cut.
No, hike it. He should not be cut because there's no guy out there.
I got the guy.
Fire away.
You want me to mention it now?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
this is such
ahead.
A reach, McClain.
How is this a this reach? Is
such a reach.
How is okay? Well, here's the thing.
Sicken me, Lopez.
Morton Anderson.
No.
Gary Anderson.
There is a. I'm telling you right here, right now.
Russell Erksleben.
Right now, there is a.
No, Tony Franklin.
There is a proven kicker that's going to be available. Would you believe Chris me Brown. If I told you that?
Chris Who? Brown. Adam Vinatieri.
All right. Chase McLaughlin.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. 49ers from Houston.
He's from Houston. He's kicking for the 49ers.
Yeah, he just missed a big kick, didn't he?
And he made a 47-yarder that was a clutch kick to get there. Don't forget that part
he
of
did.
It.
He did. He had a great kick to get him there.
And he is...
And then he kicked one in the bay.
He's 10 for 14 on field goals, has not missed an extra point, and is going to be released when Robbie Gould gets back next
He'll
week.
Have a lot of teams after him.
Think about it.
So many
I can tell I'm swaying you,
that
Ray
have
Landers.
Kicker issues.
Robbie Gould is coming back next week. Chase McLaughlin is 10 for 14, big 47-yard
He's
field goal.
He's not coming to the Texans.
Not missed an extra point.
I'll say this. Say Fairbairn misses a field goal, an extra point that cost them the
Chase
Colts
McLaughlin.
Game, then I could see him cutting him and going after McLaughlin, but I don't think that's going to happen.
What do you think? Because I know I can tell by your face I'm swaying.
I like Fairbairn.
Oh, come on, man.
Just be patient. Let him work it out.
John just said, "You got is that all you got?"
Let him work it out.
I said he's going to miss a kick.
Let him work it out. Kiki.
So, hold on. Let me put this one more point.
You're
on
still
this.
On this?
Yes, because we're
what are
all,
you doing right
we're
now?
All in agreement, are we not, that Kymie Fairbairn you don't have confidence in?
No.
I have as much confidence in him as I do any other kicker, including this character you're bringing up.
So if you're in agreement that you don't have confidence in Fairbairn, and here's a guy that's 10 for 14, kicking for the best team in the NFL, and is going to be replaced and on the street within a week, and you don't even bring him in?
No, they're not going to do that.
Dude, that's a mistake. I'm on the record. Big mistake. Go ahead.
T.Y. Hilton will play Thursday.
I'm going to say yes because it's the Texans and it's his home away from home, even though he's missed the last two with a calf injury. And they said originally it was at least 3 weeks. So it hasn't been 3 weeks.
If the Texans lose Thursday, they will not make the playoffs.
No, I think they'll make the playoffs as a wild card if they lose Thursday.
James Harden deserves a statue when he hangs it up for the Rockets.
Do they have any statues out there?
They got a team.
They got Dream.
Do you have to win? Didn't Dream won two championships? I think Harden has been so great and consistently great, I'd seriously consider putting a statue up out there, although my next choice after Olajuwon would be Rudy T.
Does Earl deserve a statue in Houston?
Yes.
I'm talking like in front of NRG or yes. something because it's a crossover thing, but it's, I mean, the Astrodome's still there.
I think if they build a statue, put a statue up to Earl, they need to put it between the dome and NRG.
Yeah. I think
it's kind of
just...
a bridge between mm-hmm. the two stadiums.
I think they should tear down the dome and put up an Earl statue.
I'm just so tired of arguing this. It's like banging your head against the wall.
That would be awesome. That would be cool.
I think when bring up statues, at McLean Stadium in Waco, they got an RG3 statue.
You want a Brile statue?
No, I want a Mike Singletary statue.
Now, that's a good one.
Singletary, greatest defensive player in Baylor history and Pro Football Hall of Fame. He should have a statue on the other end from RG3 or right there with him. Have a monument area as you're coming over the pedestrian bridge and the team comes over their bridge and have them both right there so they can see the two greatest players in history.
Hey, and the Longhorns are coming for that statue this week, though. Believe that. Oh, wow.
We got some breaking news. We have some breaking news, John McClain. I think it will interest you. The XFL, that's right, the XFL has announced that it will hold training camp for its inaugural season for all eight teams in Houston. Thank you for taking that from me. The practices are going to be held at Rice, Texas Southern, and HBU. Isn't that something? All eight teams in one city.
Oliver Luck's been wanting to do that. I can't remember. Somebody else did that, and I think it'd be fun to help them get a little attention, although I'm not sure they were. When did they report? November? Yeah. December?
I'll find out.
They got to start playing right after the Super Bowl. And bringing them, those guys to me should have been in there already practicing. But I think it'll be a lot of fun because of the coaches. You know, you get to go talk to Bob Stoops about OU, whatever you want to talk
to. I got
to
all
about.
The stadiums here.
Kevin Gilbride will be back in town.
This is interesting.
You know what they need to do first, the XFL? They need to hire OJ Simpson as an analyst. You really want to make some hay. John McClain, always a pleasure. What do you got coming up?
I'm going over Facebook Live. Thank you guys very much. What were you going
to
say?
Yeah, just the stadiums. They're giving a shout out, a lot of credit here to the HISD schools. The Dallas franchise is going to practice at Tully Stadium, Rice Stadium, TDECU Stadium, Durley, Husky Stadium, Thorne Stadium, Del Mar, and Turner Stadium. Turner Stadium's up in my neck of the woods.
If the Texans blow these next two, they can let them practice over there because they won't be needing it in January.
You can go
cover that for us. Thank you guys very much.
I'm going to become a Tampa Bay XFL fan now because they're practicing in Humble.
I think Lopez might be being a little loose with the breaking news.
Maybe I can kick.
Jerry, hey, you can go interview Jerry Glanville. He's with the defensive coordinator
at
Tampa. Yeah.
I'm going to ask him about y'all's fight. You better believe that.
He'll deny it. He'll lie about it like he did everything else.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. Bringing that fire today. Thank you very much, Mr. McClain. Let's play the hits next. Monday Night Football has me thinking about something that needs to stop around here. And we're also going to hear from Colts head coach Frank Reich heading into Thursday's game against the Texans. The hits next. Boy, McClain was bringing that fire today. Some people say he took you to the woodshed, J-Lo.
I think most people said the exact opposite. You're such a troll sometimes. The text board is like, way to go, John. Go after him, John. Because I couldn't get over. I actually wrote stuff down. You know, we're asking.
I saw you starting to go in reporter mode. Yeah. Like you're in like an old reporter's notebook.
Because John's talking about this Ravens game and was saying, you know, we were asking about, you know, is that on. What does it say about Bill O'Brien, the fact that they're 4-15 in the second half of seasons against teams that finish with winning records? He said, we'll see. And then we said, you know, what about moving forward if they don't get to the playoffs? Well, if that happens, it's bad coaching. And then talking about Deshaun Watson's performance, he said it's not O'Brien's fault. And I'm sitting there going, and I wrote those three things down because I'm like, what were we saying a week ago about the good stuff when something good happens? Credit Bill O'Brien. What a great job he did. The preparation was impeccable, blah, blah, blah. So why is it when they win, it's credit Bill O'Brien. When they lose, it's not Bill O'Brien's fault?
I don't know.
And John did clarify.
Does that sound
clarify
familiar?
Let's be fair.
I don't know.
He said it is bad coaching, ultimately. He said it is bad coaching. I mean, it is his responsibility for the big stuff, but the individual plays was on Deshaun Watson. But that's not what the narrative, and it's not just John either. Right? And I told John this. I'm talking to you because you said it, but I've heard it all over. You know, all over. You know, credit. Oh, it's not his fault. I mean, come on. Is it one or the other, or is it both?
Called me a troll, dude.
Because you did. Look at I reopened Figgy. I'll let you be the arbiter.
I mean,
here.
I'm still a little stuck on that.
Well, because you trolled me by lying.
Instigate, I can take.
Okay, instigator.
I just wanted to reset our meeting with John McClain
with that line,
which you can hear on SportsRadio610.com.
With a lie, you lie.
Some people said.
Some people being like 38, 40 said, "Way to go! Thanks for calling him out on that."
You know what people got to stop doing online? Mm-hmm. They got to quit taking one opinion.
I'm saying people say?
And then connecting it to another opinion and acting like it's like some sort of hypocrisy just to fit into their argument. Derek Fogle did it the other day. I don't mention Derek Fogle very much. Baseball Jesus. Mm-hmm. But Derek Fogle is the king of like, he's trying to call out Astros Twitter and Astros fans. And he says like something like, the same people that said this, mm-hmm. said this, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, give me a specific example of someone saying one thing and then saying the other. I really, really think
John McClain
that when it comes to when it comes to like division and it comes to like the communication gap between people these days, mm-hmm. generalizations are a real problem. You got to quit taking one straw man opinion, connecting it to another straw man opinion,
yeah.
and acting like they're connected. It drives me crazy. I like Derek Fogle, but man, you got to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're just lonely or what. Just cut it out, everybody. Yeah. My goodness, how the hell did I go on that tangent, Biggie? My gosh. Monday Night Football last night. Chiefs win 24-17. Tyreek Hill left the game with a hamstring injury. However, the Chiefs improved to 7-4. Chargers fall to 4-7. 61st time in his career that Philip Rivers has lost by 7 points or fewer in a game, which got me to thinking, we got to stop glorifying that Deshaun Watson fact, stat, whatever, that he hasn't lost a game since high school by one possession.
By more than one possession.
We got to stop that. We got to quit glorifying losing, because as great as Phillip Rivers has been, when you put that stat out there and you watch what Phillip Rivers has done, it's a little bit heartbreaking, J-Lo.
If I was Phillip Rivers, I wouldn't want that stat out there. I really wouldn't. Yeah, I got close, but 61 times I failed when I got close. Yeah, that's not good. And I'm with you. I think that's a good get by you, a good opinion, even though you trolled me just a few moments ago. The fact that, you know, Deshaun Watson losing by one game makes it an almost game. And this is the team that wants to not be the almost team anymore.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
Don't want to do that anymore. Texans versus Colts Thursday night. Frank Reich, 3-1 against Bill O'Brien. Is that good?
That is good.
The only loss came when he decided to go for it in overtime. He could be unbeaten. Frank Reich says a lot of teams struggle to find an identity in football. His team's not one of those.
I mean, you got to stay true to your DNA about who you want to be. We've never made any mistake about that. You know, we want to run the football. We want to have a dynamic play-action passing game that complements that running the football so we can get chunk plays down the field. And, you know, and then defensively, we want to stop the run and then limit big plays.
You know, we talk about the Texans stopping the run, and they've done it at a very high level before Sunday against the Ravens. But how many teams against the Texans have just gone into the game and said, you know what, we're going to fight their ass, and we are going to run the ball no matter what. We don't care what happens.
We are going to impose our will,
and we are going to fight. Very few teams do it like the Colts do.
They bully the Texans. I said this earlier to John McClain, and I still can't even quite decide myself. As a team, the Colts will rush for 150 yards on Thursday night.
Yes.
That's a big number. I know they just gave up 263, but that was the Ravens, was Lamar and all that.
I mean, they had 200-yard rushers the other day against Jacksonville. Jonathan Williams comes straight off the bench after Marlon Mack fractures his hand. Jonathan Williams, who'd rushed for 1 yard all season, he comes off the bench, and he gives them 13 carries for 116 yards. Colts run the rock.
Yeah.
They're committed to it.
So you think a $1.50 they beat it?
I think the Colts...
If they do, that's going to be a tough game to win.
I think the Colts are going to run the ball on the Texans. I really do. And Jacoby Brissett, you know, if T.Y. Hilton is there, Jacoby Brissett, 4 touchdown passes the last time these teams met. The storyline, it hasn't quite emerged. I don't want to say nobody's talking about this, but it does feel like nobody's talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking about this for a while now, John.
What's that?
It's very possible. A lot of guys have kryptonite. They have stuff that they just can't overcome. Peyton Manning, as great as he was, he couldn't overcome the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually did. There's a lot of things that just have kryptonite.
No, I agree with that.
Frank Reich might just own Bill O'Brien. It's very possible that Frank Reich, when it comes to walking out of the tunnel, putting a headset on, and coaching a football game against Bill O'Brien, Frank Reich might just have Bill O'Brien's number. There's not one constant.
There isn't, and I think this game goes a long, long way toward whether that's the case or not.
100%. This is the one where if they win this one on a Thursday night on the road,
shorthanded,
then we will have to come on the air on Friday and say Frank Reich owns Bill O'Brien.
Right, because 3-1 can be explained by, well, you know, they've had a good run, you know. 4-1, all of a sudden you're looking at a trend, especially 4-1 on the road on a Thursday on a short week with a shorthanded team. You come into Bill O'Brien with the stakes even higher after that Baltimore game, and you still beat him. That's a trend. He owns Bill O'Brien.
He's beat him in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
He's beat him in Houston. He's beat him in a playoff game.
Right.
He's beat him in a regular season game. He's beat him with Andrew Luck as his quarterback. He's beat him with Jacoby Brissett as his quarterback. I mean, if Frank Reich beats Bill O'Brien again on Thursday, everybody has their kryptonite.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to accept the fact that the man who coaches the Colts just simply owns the guy who coaches the Texans. That's just that there will just be way too much data and not one thing to point to. Like, you could easily have said last year, well, they got Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck just gets it done. You know,
sure,
when Andrew
Luck's
there, he sees the... Even when they lost that playoff game, Andrew Luck, okay. They won with Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett was the AFC player of the player of the week when they played. So it's possible that's what we'll be saying. But one thing we aren't debating is T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton definitely owns the Texans. You got those stats for me, Handy OG?
I got the stats.
You've been a little slow to the stats today.
No, you've been confusing me. I'm so confused.
Now, give me those T.Y. Hilton stats in 16 games.
In 16 games, he's got 87 catches.
Oh, my gosh.
1,604 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Oh, my gosh.
That is big time.
And he's also got a history with the Houston Texans. You remember last year when T.Y. Hilton said NRG was his second home? Jonathan Joseph took exception to it.
What do you think of T.Y. Hilton calling NRG Stadium his second home?
Sounds good. You know, it's easy to say it. You know, I can easily say that too. Or we can call this division our division since I've been here. Last 5 out of 8 years, however y'all want to draw it up. Nah, that's for clowns, man. That's for TV. That's what they do. You put something in their face, anybody can say it.
87
Jeremy
catches.
Jeremy Branham always asked the right questions.
87 catches, 1,604 yards, 10 touchdowns against one team.
And he wore a clown mask to the playoff game last year.
And then backed it up.
Backed it up early. Only held to 85 yards.
Oh, only?
Well, the Colts were up 21-0. They took their foot off the gas. This was T.Y. Hilton after he wore the clown mask, responding to what you just heard from Jonathan Joseph.
I got a lot of messages last night. What he said, I said, you know what? Let's have fun with it. So it's something I did. I wanted to have fun with it. But, it's over.
So we thought T.Y. Hilton would not be on the field. He was supposed to be injured. Status in doubt. Yesterday, Frank Reich said, not so fast, my friend.
Well, I mean, certainly in his career, he's proven that he doesn't need to practice, but that's not never the optimal situation.
Yeah.
That's never the optimal situation, but he's logged enough miles, as they say, and he's enough of a pro and really smart player that he's proven to be a rare exception in that standpoint.
Usually it's Wednesday. That's the most important day of the week for a player's injury to show that he can play on that Sunday or not. But this week it's Tuesday, because even on a Monday they kind of do walkthroughs the week of a Thursday night game. But Tuesday becomes the only real day you get on the field. Now you're not hitting, but you do get on the field and do some actual running and game planning. We're keeping an eye on things in Indianapolis. If T.Y. Hilton is on the field or if they report that he's on the field, we'll let you know. But today's the day. We'll know by the end of the day whether T.Y. is looking very, very positive to be playing or if it's still up in the air.
It'll be interesting. And if he is playing, we wonder if Vernon Hargraves, the newest Texans cornerback, will be on the field. Hargraves released by Tampa Bay, claimed by the Texans. First round pick in 2016. He met with the media types for the first time yesterday and was asked about being released by the Tampa Bay Bucs and picked up by the Houston Texans.
It's just a business. It's just a business. You know, I'm not going to get into details on that. But, it is what it is. It happens. And, some things just don't work out. And, that's the best way I can describe it.
There's a story there, man. I mean, this is a former first-round pick, still young. And that's the, there's – he'd rather not talk about it.
That's
well, that happened too.
Man, are we going to hear that?
That happened too.
Are we going to hear that on Thursday? That's your newest Texan mic'd up, by the way. Shontrell Henderson, released by the Houston Texans, played about a quarter and a half for the Texans, I believe, as the starting right tackle. Brian Gain was really big on him. No longer a member of the Houston Texans. What's your favorite memory of Shontrell Henderson?
What's my favorite memory of which sack was it that he gave up? I can't place it.
Did he give up a sack in that first quarter? I think he might be being a little bit rude. Astros agreed to a one-year deal with Yuli Gurriel, slightly over $8 million. I know you're happy Yuli's going to be back with the Astros next year.
I am. Does that come with a vibrating bracelet or elbow
pad? I knew you were going to do this.
Does that come with a vibrating elbow pad?
Come on, John.
Well, that's the latest.
Come on, John. Save the cheating jokes for off the
air. All right, look at me in the face.
Yes, sir.
This is
awkward.
Look deep into my eyes.
Don't make me do that.
You're not looking into my eyes.
What?
Did the Astros cheat?
Yes.
Okay. So why is this so out of the ordinary to think that they did it? Well, you didn't play for the Astros. That's the latest, that they had some sort
of... Just embrace it,
vibrating... Vibrator? Some sort of vibrating vibrator or something of some sort in their elbow pads. And if it vibrated, that means it was going to be an off-speed pitch.
That's pretty awesome.
And you saw the table and the computer and the TV screen and all
that?
Yeah,
I saw that. I did see that.
They were dirty, man.
Good.
They did it. It does cast a little bit of a pall on things.
Hell no.
Certainly on the organization.
Maybe.
The fine keeps going up. I said initially they're going to get fined $1 million or $2 million. I'll bet you they're going to be fined within $3 and $5 million. And all of a sudden, I think draft picks are on the table. Because it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and more complex. And now they're saying, you know, they had the video of the table with the TV and now the vibration thing in their elbow pads.
It's a witch hunt now.
Oh, God. You're going there.
It's a witch hunt.
Oh, yeah. Because they're
they cheated.
Mm-hmm.
But damn.
So they're witches. Sometimes, you know, when you're on a witch hunt, you find witches.
Where did that term come from? Salem?
Yeah, back in the old days.
They used to drown people, right?
Mm-hmm.
That area of learning in school just never interested me.
Yeah?
Yeah, that time
Wasn't
and
your mom a history teacher?
Yeah, but, you know, can't win them all. Blazers fall to the Rockets last night, 132-108. Harden with 36. This actually slightly drops his points per game to 39.2. He has more points scored than minutes played in each of the last nine games. That's the longest such streak since the ABA-NBA merger. Rockets now 11-3. They're in Denver Wednesday night. Rockets playing some good ball. I've always thought this team was built for the regular season. You got two of the best regular season players of all time in James Harden and Russell Westbrook. We'll see how it goes in the playoffs. A lot of teams, the Clippers, they've kind of made it clear they don't care about the regular season. You got the Lakers playing some good ball. It's going to be exciting.
Has anyone ever made a James Harden and Ted Williams comparison?
I doubt it.
Because I'm about to make one.
Okay.
James Harden is Ted Williams in this way. He scored 36 points and his average per game went down, right?
Right.
There were a few games, and this is one of the most remarkable baseball things ever. If Ted Williams went 2 for 5 in a game the year he batted 400, his average went down. 2 for 5 in a game and your average goes down.
Damn.
That's James Harden.
Did you ever see Ted play?
Come on now.
COG John Lopez.
I flew with him.
Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 16. Is he still frozen?
His head is, right? Isn't his head frozen?
Wasn't there like a fight about freezing his body?
Yeah, him and Casey Kasem. They froze Casey Kasem's head too, didn't
Why?
They? Why? I don't know.
Man, he was good on Saved by the Bell.
He was good on America's Top 40.
Yeah, but
American Top 40.
Yeah, but his cameo in Saved by the Bell is second to none. Mm-hmm. It was damn good.
Now he's got a frozen head.
So weird. Mm-hmm. OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Let's get more into this Bill O'Brien versus Frank Reich. They've met four times. Let's revisit those four times and ask the following question. Is it possible that Frank Reich just simply owns the coach of the Houston Texans? That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.